Just a couple of things before we go there. I want you to notice the position of this commandment. It is on the first rung of the ladder, on the second table. It has priority of all our duties toward men. You know, the first four commandments is our duty to God. The second table, number 5 through 10, those six commandments are our duty to man. Now, if you were writing the commandments and said, what's your first duty to man? You and I might say, well, do not kill. But here in God's wisdom, in giving this these 10 commandments, he has put honoring parents to be top priority in the keeping of God's law. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're digging into God's Word today in the Ten Commandments. We're coming to commandment number 5 today, that all-time great, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is really the basis of societal living, where you have parents that are honored by their children. And we will learn today that it is the first in the second table. Of all the relationships in the world, this is number 1, and God gives it priority. The first thing that we are to do to honor society is to honor our parents. And those bonds, those natural bonds that are made between parents and children, when they are right and when they are established, maintained, society will definitely be a better place. We also have Amanda Reed to sing today in Shady Green Pastures. But firstly, a few thoughts in the book of Romans. And we're looking at chapter 1, and we're looking at the whole matter of this question, holding the truth in unrighteousness, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does it mean to hold the truth in unrighteousness? Well, it means to suppress. It means to push away. And it is to put it out of sight. And that's what men are doing with God's truth. They're holding it away from themselves. In verse 19, what is the Paul's argument in his use of the word because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. Well, it's very clear in this verse 19 that this is the argument. Men are suppressing it because they know it. It's not a lack of truth. It's not a lack of revelation. It is a hatred of revelation. Men don't want the light. The light has come, but men reject and refuse the light or the knowledge of God. Next question, we come to verse 20. What are Paul's proofs for his statement, so that they are without excuse? Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Well, proof number 1, man has the knowledge of God within him. It's not a lack of truth, he knows it. And proof number 2, God is known by his creation of the world. The whole light of the world, creation around us, argues there is a God, and it states clearly that God is. Thirdly, the third proof, God's eternal nature or divine character is revealed in the light of creation. There's no darkness here. There are no reasons to doubt here. God has manifest everything so clearly. And indeed, many scientists today understand that there is intelligence behind the created world. And man is just discovering the laws, the principles that God has established behind science, behind the laws of the universe and of material, there is a designer. And that's simply what the apostle is saying here, that God has established his godhood and has revealed himself because man knows. But he pushes that truth away. And I trust that's not what you're doing, that you will come to the light, not run from it, but receive the light and rejoice in the knowledge of God that we have both in creation and in his word. May the Lord bless you now as we turn to our message and song. Amanda Reed singing, In Shady Green Pastures.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along.
Shall we go back to Exodus chapter 20 and to this fifth commandment found in verse 12? We'll take this as our text today. Exodus 20 and the verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I want to go straight to the outline of this commandment that I want us to follow today. First of all, why this command? Then secondly, how do we keep it? And then thirdly, for how long? Why, how, and how long? Just a couple of things before we go there. I want you to notice the position of this commandment. It is on the first rung of the ladder, on the second table. It has priority of all our duties toward men. You know, the first four commandments is our duty to God. The second table, number 5 through 10, those six commandments are our duty to man. Now, if you were writing the commandments and said, what's your first duty to man? You and I might say, well, do not kill. But here in God's wisdom, in giving this these 10 commandments, he has put honoring parents to be top priority in the keeping of God's law. Why does God insist that we honor parents first? We need to answer that today. And we learn here that serving our fellow men begins at home. Indeed, we would say it has to begin in the cradle. As soon as that newborn is placed into the crib, there needs to be this principle of children honoring, obeying parents. Indeed, if we want to be a blessing in society, if we want our children to grow up to be useful to God and men, we will want them to honor them, our parents. Well, here's the number one thing. Honor your mom. Honor your dad. Every mother and father should seek to have children that will honor them. In the home, out of the home, before marriage, and beyond marriage. Now the word honor means to revere. The Hebrew word has the idea of something that is heavy. It's the opposite to light. Now, children who lightly esteem their parents and sort of take them for granted, they're not obeying this command, honoring their parents. So if you honor your parents, you're to give them their place, you are to recognize their role, and it is a God-given role that they have. Now, the importance of this commandment for us today in the 21st century is that the apostle warned us in the New Testament that disobedience to parents will mark the last days. The days before the end of this world, there will rise up a spirit of disobedience to parents. Let me read to you 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And in the book of Romans, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now, the last time you walked through the mall, you probably witnessed this. Kids out of control. Teachers in school will tell you over and over, this becomes a nightmare. How do you teach children that are beyond management? They have never learned in the home to honor their superiors, their teachers, their parents. And you witness the nightmare of parental failure in training children. And instead of children rising up to call their mother and father blessed, they rise up to curse them. Now, this commandment, therefore, is against what is called unbridled individualism. In a 2-year-old? Yes. We talk about the terrible twos. And what is really happening is the battle of a 2-year-old who has this innate nature, it's all about me, and I must have my way. It is this unbridled individualism. It's me, and if that battle is not won in the home, it'll continue in school, and it'll go into the age of employment. All through life, there will be strife and problems. And so here's our outline. Why has God given this commandment to parents? How is it to be kept, and for how long? Well, number one, this is God's commandment. It's to be kept because God said it. If we believe that God gave that law, then we are going to do it because God said it. And it's not something we can take or leave. It's not optional for parents or children. It's a command. It's one of the 10 commandments. Honor your parents, your mother and your father. Why? Because it works. The family where children learn to honor their parents will be a blessed home. It works, and it works for blessing. It works for order, and it works for peace, and it works for of prosperity within that home and within that family. Now, we've been in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go back there, please, to chapter 11 and verse 20. Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and chapter 11, verse 20. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven on earth. You see the connection between the keeping of God's law, and we're going to include here children obeying parents. If you want to have a happy home, if you want to have a godly home where you invite the Lord to be in the midst and to bless the activities and the aims of that home, this is absolutely vital.
And God will come in grace to bless those children that are learning, and it's a learning curve. It's not something that's just going to happen by themselves, just tell them this and they'll do it. No, there has to be this training, this lifelong attitude of children honoring their parents. And in the midst of that home where there's the goal that children obey and honor their parents, there will be a little bit of heaven on earth. It'll be a home with God's blessing upon it. Back to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 40. Deuteronomy 4:40. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee. Parents, the greatest legacy that we can give our children is a godly home, a godly upbringing. And here is the foundation. The very first thing we need to do is to nurture, admonish where required, guide our children in that degree of respect and honor toward parents, and then it will go well. It'll go well. Now back to Ephesians 6, those first four verses that we looked at in our opening prayer, and again we see in the New Testament, Paul is teaching Christians in the New Testament exactly to follow up on the same principle. Ephesians 6 and verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, you'll notice the little word there, in the Lord. There is the assumption here that parents are walking with the Lord. They're living for the Lord. They are Christians, delighting in the Lord. And if you're a son or daughter born into a home where your mother and father is walking with God, here's a command to you. Now, if your mother and father are serving the devil and doing those things that are sinful, you are not to follow them. You are to obey them in the Lord, for this is right. For this is right. And no young person should be expected to follow their parents in the ways of evil, but in the ways that are right. And young people, if your parents are calling you to obey them and follow them in a good thing, God says it's right. It's right. That it may be well with thee. You see, the apostle didn't miss the promise. That it may be well with thee. It can't go right with you if you're a rebel to your mother and father. It can't go well with you if you're going contrary to the God-given role of parents that your parents have been given, that your days that and thou mayest live long in the earth. And then, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So there is a responsibility upon parents that in this expectation that your children are going to follow you and obey you, you better be a good dad. Just to put it plain and simple. If you're going to expect your children to follow you and obey you, you better be that example that will lead them in the right way. And thereby, you will rightly call upon them to honor you as parents. Where children learn to honor parents, that rule of parenting is first of all going to be kind. It's going to be firm, final, and fair. Those are things that ought to be in every home. Every child should be able to say to my father's word, well, it's firm, it's final, but it's fair. If you get beyond that, there's going to be a recipe for trouble. So it's kind, it's merciful. Love, the love of God flows through parents. And when children are in temptation and in trouble, you're there for them. You're not going to kick the dog when he's down. You're not going to be overbearing to crush your son or daughter because they have failed or even sinned, but rather you teach your children to take the long-term view. Children, they're always born for immediate gratification. Must have it now, but I need it now. Parents teach their children for the long-term view. And without pain, there's no gain. And without discipline, there is no accomplishing the goal. And that needs to be factored in. It's also honest, because it recognizes God's order. The parent's role is to parent, not to be a brother or sister. Perhaps one of the great weaknesses in our modern society. As you go through the mall, you will probably detect that. You see young parents trying to train their children or lead their children through the mall, and instead of being the parent, they're trying to be a sister or a brother. That doesn't work. You see, God has placed a role and a relationship that is to be followed. And where there is that honor, that recognition of a parent's role, then it will go well. I've been reading Dr. Kern's book on the law and the Ten Commandments. And boy, he really went the second mile in this commandment to cover a whole lot of areas. But here's a little statement he made. If we get our home life right, we get every other part of society right. And it's true. That's why this is the first of the commandments in the table of our duty to men. Because the order of the home depends on it. Order in the church depends on raising children that honor their parents. In 1 Timothy 5:1, it says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." Now you can imagine some young person who's never learned at home to honor parents. He's been a rebel. Parents have never expected anything different. They've just been raised without this commandment. Then they come into the church and they read this in the God's word, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." Well, what's he going to do? He's going to treat the elder in the church just what he's been doing with his dad in the home. And it didn't work there, and it's not going to work here. So it requires this, that it may be order in the church as well. And then, of course, it's order in employment. When your son or daughter gets his first job, and he's going to be under the training, the supervision, the direction of an employer, he's going to have to listen. Follow the rules and follow the demands. If he has not learned to honor mother and father in home, it's going to be exceeding difficult to do so in the workplace. So this is vital. It's vital that this command is obeyed. So that's my point. This command is to be kept because it works and because it's wise. It's wise. It put God first, and it is his commandment. And it leaves a good Christian testimony. I want to read to you, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before thy many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, do you see the wisdom of this? To put it into practice as a rule of our hearts and our home, we need to see that it is the best, the godliest, and the happiest course for any family to enjoy. And of course, it fosters worship. One of the great tragedies of our society is that there are times when we preach to people to love God as your heavenly Father, But people have not known an earthly father to admire, an earthly father to obey and honor. But rather they have had a father that has been abusive, has been wicked, cruel, harsh. And when they hear that we're to love our Heavenly Father as a father, can't understand it. They can't connect. And so as you train your child to obey you, to honor you, to live happily, joyfully in your footsteps, you're teaching your child to worship God. And as he hears that command to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven," he will identify with a good God, a gracious God, a loving God. And so, fathers, we must teach by word, by example, and on to public worship. Now, we have the example of Eli in the Old Testament who didn't do this. And you know the result, that his sons were wicked and lecherous. They were vile sons that came under God's judgment because Eli did not train them as he should. Hannah, on the other hand, Hannah raised Samuel in prayer, and she presented him to the temple. And you remember how in that temple, under Eli's ministry, Samuel had the ear for God. He said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." That's the difference that godly teaching, training can make. And so if we love our children, if we love their souls and long for them to live in the joy of the gospel, we will desire that they honor us as parents. This opens the ear to God's call. And so there's the why of this commandment. It affects the home. It affects school, employment, the church, worship, and the good of their souls, that they might know the blessing of God all their days. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.